Well, we're coming tonight to this chapter of Isaiah, and it is well known, chapter 41. And I trust that you took to heart those words in verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Now we remember that this word from the pen of Isaiah is written to the people of Israel for their time in Babylonian captivity, near the end, somewhere close to the end of their 70 years of exile. And this word was a lifeline of hope, lest they become weary in their exile. And very often it is when a struggle is advancing toward its end section that people faint and become weary. And I know that many have already become weary of the awful isolation, this lockdown that is upon so many of our countries and communities. And of course, the news every hour of every day seems to highlight the desperation, the dire situation of our land, with so many dying from this virus and new cases each and every day. And we certainly need a word from the Lord to comfort our hearts. Now, when this is all over, I never want to hear the word isolation again, ever. In some ways, the world is changed forever. And we will speak of this virus as our grandparents spoke of World War II. I was just speaking to a lady today by phone, and she said that her mother, who is now in her 90s, she said, "This is worse than World War II. Because then there was freedom, people could visit one another, and there was times to encourage one another. This is a silent oppression that we are all dealing with." Now, if you look at chapter 41, verse 1, you will see that this is a message to the enemies that Isaiah refers to in this opening verse as islands. "Keep silence before me, O islands." Now, these islands are coastal countries, coastal peoples, perhaps along the Mediterranean of the then known world. And these islands are the wicked, they are the oppressors of Israel, and they are a threat to God's people. And you'll notice here that God says, "Keep silent." He bids them to be silent. And then he says, "Let God's people renew their strength." And verses 2 to 5, the Lord promises that he will send a deliverer. Most likely it is a reference to Cyrus, the Persian king, who would one day topple the Babylonians. And that Cyrus, of course, was God's special man, or shepherd as he is called, to give freedom to the Jews to return to Jerusalem. And so in these first verses of Isaiah 41, you will see that history is advancing very, very rapidly, and there's a word to the wicked, "Keep silent." But it is a word to God's people that he will send his deliverer. Now, what do these island people or these wicked people do? You will read in verses 5 through 7 that they increase not only their numbers, but their idols. It's as if they are bent on making more and more idols. And these men who know their need of a higher power, they prove to be a very factory of idols. And they go to work to make more and more idols. If you look at verse 7, the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote with the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. Oh, here is the making of more idols. Now, the thing to notice is that God is working in the nations. He is stirring up nations, and he's silencing nations. Well, that is a great thing just to take note of tonight. And as we think of this virus that is plaguing the world, right around this globe, nation after nation shutting down, trying to survive against this silent enemy. What is God doing? Well, we learn that God is actively working within the nations. Now, God is at work by providence. He is at work in the world by his Spirit, and also by his electing purposes. If you go to verse 9, you will see the word to his people. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. And so here is God working by providence, by his Spirit in the world, and also by his election, electing, choosing, calling out his people for his own name. And that's exactly what he did with Israel. They were his people. He calls them here in this passage, my servant. And so we can say tonight at this juncture in our lives and in our history that God is at work in this world. There is the hand of providence that moves, and his Holy Spirit is at work. God is striving. He is, by his Spirit, convicting of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And, of course, he is working to call his people unto himself. And Romans chapter 8 is still the case in this world. Romans 8 is true. God is at work. And he said here to these Israelites in verse 10, and that's the verse we want to major on here tonight, fear thou not, for I am with thee. What a wonderful word for your heart and mine tonight. As we live in the midst of this very serious epidemic, the Lord has a word for us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Now, what wonderful promise that the Lord helps his people. And I want us to look tonight at the ways by which God helps. The first one that we see here is by his presence. I am with thee. Now we know that in all the world, God is present everywhere. We read in the book of Jeremiah 23 and the verse 24, and I'm going to read this for you. You can mark it down. Jeremiah chapter 23. And verse 24, can any hide himself in secret places that I cannot see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? And God is infinite in his presence. That means he is indivisible. There's not a part of God in one place, a part of God in another place. But God is present in every place with all the fullness of his being. All his power and all his glory fills every space in the universe. And this is the God who says to us, I am with thee. Now, God can be present with us because God is a spirit. He has no physical body. A body can only be present in one particular place at a time. But because he is infinite, he is everywhere with every part of his essential nature. And when you get God, you get all of him. When God is present, he is present with all his majestic fullness and his glory. And it is impossible to run away from God's presence. Now, for the Christian, this is wonderful. But for the wicked, it's terrible. Adam tried to run from God in the Garden of Eden, but he couldn't. Cain tried to run from God into a land where he would be free from God, but he couldn't. Jonah tried to run from God, but he couldn't. The psalmist in Psalm 139 said, "Even I make my bed in hell, thou art there." God's presence is everywhere at all times. Now, to the wicked, that's terrible. That's horrific. That means God sees me. God knows me. He knows my acts and deeds, my words, and he knows our thoughts. But for the Christian, especially in this time of epidemic, God is with us everywhere at all times, no matter where you go, whether you're in your home, outdoors, in the store, or doing business, God is with his people. And here the Lord is reassuring us, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." And of course, we seek his gracious presence ministering to us. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus said that he would depart from his disciples, but he would not leave them, but he would send unto them the Comforter. And in the person of the Comforter, he would come to them. And so tonight we can enjoy the presence of God. And we can enjoy the ministry of his grace, the power of the Holy Spirit to our hearts and to our souls. And this is something to pray on tonight. This is something to lean upon. Lord, you told us, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." And Lord, we take thee at your word. And we plead and pray for the enjoyment, the blessedness of this truth within our own hearts and within our own souls. And so the Lord helps us to let us know that he is present with us. And of course, we need to enjoy this by faith, because God is invisible. He is not to be seen outwardly. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ in his incarnation has come to reveal the Father, and he has made the Father known. And in Christ, we know God, and we enjoy God. And so we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus. This is the way by which we enjoy the fellowship with the Father, by keeping our hearts fixed on him. Now, we enjoy God by his presence, "Fear not, for I am with thee," also by his personality. And you'll notice in these three verses, verse 8, 9, and 10, that eight times the Lord uses the personal pronoun "I." He said there in verse 8, "whom I have chosen." Verse 9, "thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth." And then, "thou art my servant, I have chosen thee." And then five times in the verse 10, "for I am with thee, I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee." Now, just because God is a spirit, he is not reduced to being a mere force. He's not a robot. He is not a machine. He is the living God who speaks, who knows, and he talks with us. And he refers to himself as a person, I. And God has personality. He has attributes, characteristics, and they constitute one who is the personal God. Now, the two definitions of personality is self-awareness, and in that you have I, and then you have determination. I will. God is a God who determines. He thinks and he decides and he acts upon all of that. And that means that our God is a true living God with true personality. It'd be like a company hiring a new CEO, and they hire him to be the leader of the organization. And of course, he will have various skills. He will need knowledge, and he will be making decisions. Now, all of those attributes, all of those qualities mean that they can't employ a robot. Someone that is going to care, that is going to make good decisions and be a good leader, and of course can communicate. Now, when we come to God, we come to one who communicates, and he speaks, and he ministers unto us one by one. And God's personality is a wonderful blessing, because he holds relationship with us. See his friendship here that he refers to Abraham in verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. And because God is a living God, who is a person, has divine personality, he can and does maintain relationships. And with Abraham, whom he called out of Ur of the Chaldees, referring to him as his friend. Abram walked with God. Abraham communed with God. Abraham obeyed God. And of course, Abraham is now in the presence of God. We can have a personal relationship with the Lord because of his personality. Now, the Lord Jesus, as I mentioned, is the greatest revelation of the Father. And you think of the relationship between Christ and the Father. And over again, he speaks of coming into the world to do the will of his Father. He prayed to his Father. He thanked his Father. He gave praises to his Father. He called upon his Father. And likewise, we tonight can build this wonderful relationship that we have with the Lord our God. He is the God who is our helper and our strength. And we can build on that. We can pray, Lord, I come to thee as my friend. How often we sing that little chorus, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Well, tonight it's a wonderful thing to know that God is our friend. Through Christ, we have his righteousness. All our sins are gone. We are under the blood. And through the Son, we have fellowship with the Father. And in prayer this evening, we ought to thank God that he comes to befriend us and to minister to us in all the trials and troubles of this world. Now, tonight, as you call on God in prayer, thank him that he loves you. Thank him that he cares for you. Thank you that him that he comes to help you and to strengthen you. This is our God, our friend, who makes us his friends through the Lord Jesus. Now that brings us this evening to the promises of God's help. And you'll see a great many of them right here in these verses. Look at verse 10. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Now, God is the one of power. And in chapter 40, verse 29, we dwelt on, he giveth power to the faint. And this is God's communicable attribute. He shares this power with his people. He dispenses grace or spiritual power to us, to our hearts, into our souls. He strengthens us in the inner man. In verse 10 again, you will see the word help. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will re-help thee. What a wonderful helper God is in our time of trouble. Then you have the word uphold there in verse 10. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, one commentator has alluded that this has the meaning of a small person picking up a large item and someone comes alongside and takes the other end. Now, this would be like a fly with a monster, a fly picking up something with a huge monster. When we have God as our helper, we have nothing to fear. When he holds us up, we have nothing to fear. Now, I have three examples this evening of people whom God helped in a marvelous way. The first one is Joseph. Joseph, who went down to Egypt a slave, became the prime minister of the land, and in the famine, he became God's right-hand man, the prime minister of the land, spared the nation from famine, and God's blessing was upon him. Now, when Jacob was blessing his sons, he gave to each one of his sons a blessing. And here is what Jacob said to Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee, with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. Now the whole life of Joseph was a mark of a man who was singularly blessed because he was helped of God. And this is the help that God offers to each of us tonight. I will help thee. And he can make those things that we are doing to go well and to be a blessing. The other example is Aaron and Hur when they held up the hands or arms of Moses in prayer. And they upheld him. And God promises to uphold us in our time of need. And you can plead that tonight. Now, the third example is in Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. Now, when you study this, you will find that it is God the Father upholding the Son and the Father promising strength to the Son. Now, we know that Christ fulfilled his work both in the world on the cross, victorious over the tomb, ascended back to be with his Father, and he was upheld by God. He was successful in his work. And so we can enjoy this kind of help from the Lord our God, who can uphold us. So when you're praying tonight, pray that the Lord will uphold you and that he will put wonderful strength within your heart. When you go to the book of Psalms, you will find that the psalmist prayed on this line over and over. He said in Psalm 17:5, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." And when we are in paths of danger, it is right to cry to the Lord, "Hold up my goings in thy paths." Another psalm, 41 verse 12, "As for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever." What wonderful help. And we can pray for that help this hour, this evening. Now, let's go to verse 11 of our chapter tonight, chapter 41, verse 11, and you will see the outcome of this help that Israel enjoyed. "Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish." And there is the answer, there is the outcome of God's people who enjoyed the promise, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am thy God. I will help thee." And so we can take encouragement this evening that in our struggles and in our cares, that the Lord will be our helper and he will be our guide. And so let us unite in prayer, and we'll ask you to bow in prayer as well. And after I pray and close at this end, I trust that you will pray individually, that the Lord will come in and bless us with great help from heaven, from his throne, and that his presence will be wonderfully real to us, and that we will enjoy the sweet fellowship of the Lord, the one who made Abram his friend, and we can enjoy the friendship, the fellowship of our God, day by day and hour by hour. Let's unite in prayer.